The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
And while we will keep doing this teaching, and why you must keep learning about healing is because we are in a fallen world. And because you are in a fallen world, there are chances that you will be sick, or at least there will be an attack or an attempt of the devil to make you sick, to keep you sick, and if he can, to destroy you by that sickness. Are you following me? Are you following me? Because you are in a fallen world, there will be an attempt of the devil to make you sick, to keep you sick, and if he can, destroy you by the sickness. And so this is a fallen world. And because of that, there are sicknesses, there are diseases flying all over the place. And that's why you must learn how not only to receive your healing, but how to engage the healing power of God, birthing divine health, and all that you need. And so we must learn about healing. And already I've taken time to show us how that God wants to heal us, and how that God is not responsible for whatever sickness you're passing through. God does not make people sick. And why this is very important, I'll touch it again today. Why this is very important is because what you believe, I've said it all the time, what you believe about God is very powerful. If you believe, if I, most times I tell people faith, okay, I heard it from Brother Hagin, let me put it, I heard Brother Hagin put it. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So faith works with knowledge. For instance, if there is a certain man of God, you do not believe in. The reason you do not believe in the man of God is either you don't know him, or what you know about him does not make sense. I get to the point. If I want to make you believe in that man of God, I just have to supply you with the right information. Maybe show you video clips of where he healed the sick. Maybe show you how he did this, and maybe tell you stories. Once I can supply you with knowledge, you have faith. Are you getting the point? The reason you are sitting on that seat is because somewhere in your head, you believe, you know that that seat can carry your weight. If you do not know that that seat can carry your weight, you won't sit there. So there is a relationship between faith and knowledge. And that's why what you know about God is a very powerful thing. If what you know and believe about God is that he makes people sick, then you should not be expecting such a God that makes people sick to heal you. And so that's why we must supply people with the right information about God. And I've said it again and again, that God does not make people sick. He does not offer sickness. He will not make you sick. He has never made anybody sick. What God rather does is that God supplies healing. Hallelujah. God is a healer. He is a healer. You know, he heals. That's what he does. That's what he wants to do. I know that, let me say a little before I get into the teaching about you. I was talking about knowledge already. This is one major reason why we come to church. We come to church to learn. To learn about God. In church, we are being supplied with information about God. We don't even know. That's what the Bible calls renewing your mind. We don't even know what he's doing to us, but we are learning. We are learning. We are learning. In fact, in church, you unlearn. You learn and you relearn. Hallelujah. You unlearn. So in church, I'm teaching you about God. There are things you are unlearning. That this, oh, I used to think it was this way, oh, but it's not this way. I used to think it was that way, but it's not that way. You keep learning, unlearning, relearning about God. And that's why church is very important. And that's what we do. We learn about healing. We learn about faith. We learn about prosperity. We learn about sin. We learn about Satan. We learn about all these things in the light of what Christ has done. And we'll find out how it affects us. So we need the right knowledge, the right information to be able to get whatever we want from God. And last week I was showing us how that we have access to divine healing. And I gave us about 7-8 reasons that last week. That's, we had a very powerful time last week. You need to get that teaching. Amen. Very powerful time. We saw reasons why the believer in Christ Jesus has access to healing, has access to divine health, and why a believer should not be sick. And why, if you demand that you should not, you will not be sick all the days of your life, you are not making a useless demand. You are not making a demand that is out of place. In fact, they are actually demanding what is actually supposed to be. I get to the point. I gave us some reasons last week. Things like the fact that healing is an act of God's mercy. The fact that God wants to show mercy and healing is an act of His mercy. Because you are a recipient of God's mercy, you have a right to demand healing. I gave us other examples. For instance, God has given us His word. His word is medicine. He has given us His word. We gave us other reasons like the fact of Christ's death and resurrection. We also looked at God's promises. The fact that God is a God that promises a thing and He keeps it to the later. That alone is enough to make you believe that God will heal you. Why? He promised you healing. He promised you long life. And God cannot promise you long life and not be ready to apply healing to you. Because He doesn't want you to be healthy or to be alive and unhealthy. Hallelujah. And we also looked at other things like the authority we have over sicknesses and all that and all that. Now today, I want to focus more a little on how to receive your healing. It's still part of this healing system, how you can receive your healing. How you can receive your healing. Hallelujah. God is a healer. He gives His healing to all. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, I've read the scripture every day throughout this teaching. It tells us how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. He anointed him with the Holy Ghost and power. What He did with that anointing was to go about healing all. So in the will of God, God wants to heal all. What God actually does is that He gives His healing to all. But then, there is a difference between giving and receiving. I teach you this whenever I teach on prayer. There's a difference between giving and receiving. Most times when people do not get healed, the problem is not with God. I tell you why. Because God has a consistent character. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. In other words, what God did last week is what He will do this week, is what He will do next 2 weeks. Are you following me? So if God healed Mr. A, what He also wants to do for Mr. Z is to heal him. So He has a constant character. So if Mr. A received healing, it means that it's the same thing God wants to do for Mr. B, for Mr. C, for Mr. F, for Mr. S, anybody. Same thing. And what He does is that He gives healing. So most times the problem is really not about whether God wants to heal or not. We establish that He wants to heal. Most times the problem is whether man is ready to receive what God is offering. Because there is giving and there is receiving. And if I give you something and you do not receive it, you will not have that thing. And that doesn't mean I didn't give it to you. It just means you didn't get it. And this is the problem with a lot of, this is the problem with Christianity, this is the problem with prayer, this is the problem with what people call unanswered prayer, because we don't know how to receive when God gives. God is a giver, He's a giver, He's a giver. You must know how to receive and receive, how to take. So it's one thing for God to give. It's another thing for the believer to take. I follow you. So you look at James 1. Let me talk about prayer a little before I get into healing. Maybe this will help us. James 1 verse 5. You look at James 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, I teach from this a lot. I want to watch it again so that you don't miss it. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. So first, he talks about a lack, a need. In this case, wisdom.
And anything you can put there, healing or what have you. So if you know if you lack wisdom, if you know if you lack healing or whatever. Now, let him ask. He tells you what to do. You ask. Now, he tells you the character of God when you ask. He giveth to all men. He tells you how God gives. How does he give? Liberally. Are you following me? Now, so if Ella asks, what will God do? God will give. How will God give? Liberally. If another person asks in this place, if Mark asks, what will God do? God will give. How will God give? Liberally. Now, he went further to show you how God will give, or what God will not do in the giving. He will not upbraid. Now, what does he mean to upbraid? Huh? Come on, what does he mean? To find fault. So in his giving, he's not going to find fault. What that means is, he's not going to look at, when Ella is asking, who look at Ella and say, okay, let's check her. Should we give her, weigh her righteousness, weigh her holiness? He won't do that. He doesn't find fault. So, and he tells you what God will do, he shall be given him. So this verse summarizes prayer. What man has to do. How God will react. What God will do. What God will not do. He will not find fault. He will not say no. He will give you. He will give you liberally. Are you following me? Now, see the next verse. Verse 6. He says, but let him ask in faith. I thought he already said that God will give and God will not upbraid. He will not find fault. So why is he bringing the issue of faith? Because, you know, if God will not give me because I don't have faith, then it means he's finding fault with me. My fault is faithlessness. I didn't get the point. So why is he bringing up the issue of faith? Watch. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Number 7. Let not that man think. Which man is he talking about? The man that wavers. The man that is not in faith. What will happen if he's not in faith? Let him not think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So he brings in the issue of receiving. So verse 5 addresses the issue of giving. When you ask, God will give. Verse 7 shows you that, well, God can give you, but you will not receive. Are you following me, church? So most times when people talk about unanswered prayers, there's actually nothing like that. Unanswered prayer is a myth. What we actually have are answers to prayers that we have not received and have not manifested. We always give this example. There are many reasons why it can happen. You know, so one example in the Old Testament. We know the popular story of Daniel. Daniel prayed. He prayed and fasted for how many days? 21. Now, when the angel finally appeared to him with the answer, the angel told him, Daniel, from the first day that you started praying this prayer, from the very first day, your prayer was heard. And God already sent me from the first day. Some things happened which we are not talking about prayer today. There were interferences of men and of spirits that stopped that from manifesting. But from that first day, Daniel started praying. The answer had left God's hand. Are you following me, church? So you need to understand that there is giving that, and in God's giving, he just gives. Now, there's something I like doing for us, and I'm going to do it again today. That is using salvation as a pattern and a model to explain many spiritual things. Salvation is a major model, a major pattern in explaining spiritual things. So let's use salvation. Salvation, for God so loved the world that he gave. When did God give? When did God give his son? Huh? Talk. You know the answer. Feel free. When Jesus died on the cross. Okay, that's when, at least that's what we saw. You know what I'm saying? He gave his son. Now, that day was the day God did his giving. Praise God. When did you get saved? When, which the year? 2018. When did you get saved? You cannot remember. When did you get saved? 2020. Praise God. So she got saved 2018. He got saved 2020. The day you got saved was the day you received Jesus. That was the day you received Jesus. But actually, when was the gift given? More than 2,000 years ago. So it's not the day you received Jesus that God gave you Jesus. The day you received him is simply the day you received him. Who is following me? So God can give healing, and then man can take 7 years before he receives the healing. So if someone stays sick for 7 years after prayer, what we erroneously say is God has not healed him. God has not, he's not. But actually the right thing is he has not received his healing. I don't get the point. Receiving now is the job of the person, not God's job. Just like when someone is not saved, are we going to say God has not given him salvation? Are we going to say God has not given him Jesus? What are we going to say? He has not received Jesus because Jesus has been given. Are you following the point? So it's not actually the day that people receive things that was given to them. So man needs to know how to receive what God gives. So he gave Jesus many years ago. Many will still die and go to hell because they didn't receive the gift God has given. The gift of salvation. That same way people can live their life and die sick and they didn't receive their healing. It wasn't God that didn't heal them. And there are many reasons why that can happen. There are many reasons. This verse is telling us one already, which I will say touch as we proceed. He's mentioning faith. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Verse 8 goes further to show us, for he that, okay, double-minded man is unstable. So what the man is double-minded, he's unstable. Oh, today he's believing, oh, God is a giver. Tomorrow he's believing, I don't know whether he's going to give to me. Double-minded, he's unstable. He won't receive. Are you following? So most times, the issue is not with God, not most times, all the time. The issue is not with God's giving. The issue is with man's receiving. In fact, talking about the giving of God, he went ahead to show us in Luke 6 that God even gives to the unthankful. So that God is that liberal. You know, I can do a full teaching on the liberality of God. And the first place you see the liberality of God is in salvation. That's the highest. Again, you find the liberality of God in nature. Look at nature. He causes his rain to fall on the good and the evil. Amen. Sun on everybody. Night and day, everybody. Liberality of God. That same liberality, you're going to find it in his prayer answering abilities. A God that will did not withhold sun or rain or even his son, the highest gift, his son Jesus. That God will not withhold healing. He will not withhold prosperity. He will not withhold anything you're asking him. So the challenge is always with man. How do we receive what God has offered us? If you are still here, say amen. So we must learn. We must learn. And so we must learn how to receive what God has given. And I'm going to talk about just one or two things today. One of the major ways you receive the gift of God, or receive healing, actually, is by God's word. I'll talk about two, three things today. God's word. God's word. Psalm 105 and verse 37. Psalm 105 verse 37. Glory to God. Okay. Okay, this is not the verse I'm looking for. But we're going to read this verse too. Amen. He said he brought them forth with silver and gold. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to read one more verse to us. Let's read this verse together, everybody. If I open the other verse. So there was not one feeble person among their tribe. So none of them fell sick. Not one feeble person. How did he do it? Psalm 107 verse 20. He brought them, we're talking about Israelites, he brought them out with silver and gold. All of them, not one person fell sick. Not one person. Not one person was feeble. How did he do it? Psalm 107 and verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. So what was the instrument God used to heal these people and to keep them safe? His word. And that's why one major instrument of divine healing, you see, is God's word. Is the major way, is the surest way to receive your healing. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Hallelujah. You know, I like how NLT puts it. NLT said, he sent out his word and healed them, snatching them from the door of death. Hallelujah. So God's word can snatch you from the door of death. Can. It's a major instrument. God's word has the capacity to snatch you from the door of death. Hallelujah. Amplified Classic said, he sends forth his word and heals them and rescues them from the pit and from destruction. From the pit and destruction. Glory to God. From the pit and destruction. Okay, maybe let's see message. He spoke the word that healed you, that pulled you back from the brink of death. So the word of God has that capacity to pull you back from the brink of death, to save you from destruction. And you better believe it. And that's why God's word is one major way we receive our healing. So what do you do with God's word? First, you must know it. What did the word of God say concerning your healing? I've come back to where I started from. Because it's by knowing, because the next thing is you have to believe it. But then, you believe what you know. You see, faith is based on knowledge. It's what you know that you believe. And that's why I tell people sometimes, it's not good, you know, going to evangelism and telling people, believe that Jesus died for you. Well, that's okay to say that. But you see, without even mentioning the word believe, if you begin to explain to the person what Jesus did on the cross, if he understands it, he will believe. Faith is based on knowledge. So you must know, if you're going to receive your healing and walk in divine health, you must know and learn fully, what did God say concerning my healing? The psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul. Psalm 103 and verse 2. Verse 3 says, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases? You must know that God is your healer. You must know that your God is your healer, and as a healer, he wants to heal you. 3 John verse 2, John said, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. So what God wishes is that we prosper and that we be in health. You must know what God has said concerning your healing. You must know, for instance, that God has promised to heal you. He has promised to heal you. He has promised to keep you safe. He has promised to give you long life. He has promised to give you, look at Exodus 23 verse 25. He has promised to give you long life. He has promised to heal you. You must know it and settle it in your heart, because it is that knowledge that will now begin to bring faith. Exodus 23, I read to you verse 25. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread. Remember this scripture last week? He will bless my bread and thy water, and he will take away sickness from the midst of thee. It's a promise of God. You must know it. So he's saying, as you're serving God, one thing you should be expecting is that he will bless my bread. Oh, and I tell you what, everything I eat is blessed. If you say it is poison, it is blessed. He will bless your bread. He will bless your water. And in doing so, he will take sickness away from the midst of thee. In our verse 26, he said, there shall nothing cast our young. nor be barren in thy land. He said, the number of your days I will fulfill. What it means is you are not dying young. You are not dying young. Glory to God. You must know this. You must know what God has said about you. And you know what I mean knowing? I'm not saying, I didn't say you must hear it. You must know it. I'm going to explain this a little when we come to Zoe. You must know it. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall, that's not even what he said. He said, he shall make you free. As long as that's the way. He said, thou shalt know the truth shall make you free. Now, it is the truth, pay attention, does not make you free. It is the truth you know. It's when you know it. And before he said, you must know the truth, and it will make you free, he told us how it will happen in verse 31. That's John 8, verse 32. In verse 31, he showed us how you will know the truth. Joshua. Blessed be God. Verse 31, he said, if you continue in my word, put it up. John 8, 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed in him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Verse 32. And ye shall know the truth. So, what he's talking about here is not just truth that you heard. It's truth that you know. Something you know beyond every reasonable doubt. Something you've learned, you've mastered, you've embraced, you've drank. It has gone through every part of you. You know it. That's what makes you free. And so that's why you must know. That's why I teach people all the time. I tell you, read books. I tell you, listen to messages. Learn about divine healing. Don't even wait until you fall sick. Listen to my teachings on healing. Listen to messages on healing. Read books on healing. Learn healing. Learn divine healing. Learn it totally. Don't wait till you are sick. Know God's word on healing. That's why I spent off that registered for healing line. Yesterday, we already released some messages that you should listen to, some of that are on the WhatsApp group. If you've not been added to that WhatsApp group, you know, it's possibly because you're either not on WhatsApp, or maybe we've tried adding you, and you stopped your number from being added to a group. You've registered for Healing Line particularly. Praise God. So we already released some messages that you listened to from yesterday. Now, you learn it. I have messages on healing is yours. Hallelujah. Their feeling is just, I have a lot of things. You need to learn them. Now, what will happen to those people in that group? If they begin to learn about healing from now till the day we're going to have healing life, it will be easy for them to get healed. Because what they know, you see, that thing they've kept hearing has formed in their heart as knowledge, as conviction. And so the first thing is, you need to know. You need to know God's word. What does the word say? Know it. Know it. That's someone that trusting God, you're going to be a very wealthy person. You're going to be a very rich person. And trusting God that 2023 is going to come to you with a lot of wealth. Let me tell you what to do. You see, from now, begin to listen to a lot of teachings on prosperity, on health, on wealth. Begin to get books. If you need recommendations, you come. I'm not talking about books about how to make money. What the Bible, God's word on wealth. It will change you. It will make you what it says. I tell you. It will change you. You eat it. 6 months into it, you are still broke. You are eating it. It's forming. Something is happening to you. Something is happening to you. So, learn God's word. What did God's word say about your healing? What did he say? What did he say about your health? What did he say about long life? Hallelujah. You know, if you know and it has entered you that God will take away sickness from me and he will bless my bread and he will bless my water. And so when they say, well, you got this through the food you ate, you just know it's not going to get to you. Because the Lord said he will bless my bread. Everything I eat is blessed. That's the same thing Jesus was explaining to them in Mark chapter 16. He said, even if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. Because the Lord will bless your bread. That's the answer. You know, growing up, there are some stories we heard that challenged us about a man of God that kidnappers got him
And then they wanted to, they served him with acid to drink. And the two, there are two pastors of that story. I don't know which one is true. But the end point was that he drank it. The other one said, he lifted it up and said, Father, thank you for this malt. The other person said, he lifted it up and said, Father, thank you for this tea. End point is that he drank it, sha. He gave thanks. And he drank it. Because they said, you either choose, either we shoot you or you drink this. For sha, you will die. He said, bring that one. And they gave him. And he gave thanks and drank it. And he's alive till today. Hallelujah. Whatever he's taking is blessed. Glory to God. If it was meant to kill, if I eat it, it will no longer kill me. It will no longer kill me. If it is contaminated, I can take it and I'll be fine. I will be fine. So you need to master what does God's word say? You need to know it. Then, of course, still talking about God's word, you have to believe it totally. And I can give you one simple definition of faith. Why you say, oh, believe, faith, all that? What definition of faith is? Treat God's word like it is true, because it is. That's faith. Faith is to see what the Bible says and take it as if it is true, because you know it is true. So you read your Bible. Let me tell you what faith is. You know, read about Archbishop Bessie the Hosa, how he raised the dead. That is faith. The first time he ever raised the dead. He just saw in the Bible, when the Bible said, he heard his pastor say that Jesus can raise the dead. And he saw it in the Bible. And he just carried his bicycle and went from house to house until he found a dead person. And he opened his Bible. And Jesus drove everybody out of the room and brought to the father and the mother. He said, oh yeah, you too. Everybody go. Father and mother come in. That is faith. Taking gospel like it is true. If he says you are mad, you just know you are totally mad. If he says you are blessed, you just know you are totally blessed. That's faith. Faith is to see what God's word has said and take it fully, like it is true. Treat it like it's true. Like it's true. And that tells you, that's how some of us that pray for the sick, some of you that pray for the sick, that's how to pray for the sick. The Bible says, lay hands on the sick, they shall be healed. Take it like that. So believe God's word. Mark 11:24. Believe God's word totally. Believe it. Know it. Believe it with all your heart. He said, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. So believe God's word totally. Believe that there is healing for you. Believe that there is supply for you. Believe that you are not sick. Believe that the word of God is working inside of you. Everything I shared last week, believe it totally. That Zoe working inside of me will expel every sickness from my system. Now, it doesn't matter what you are feeling. Believe what I'm saying totally. You need to believe God's word. You see, it is what you pray. Watch closely. Because I was talking about receiving and having. Did you see this verse? What is whatever you desire? First level desire. Pray is the second level when you pray. Believe that you receive them and then you shall have them. So it's when you believe you have received that you will have. So when I'm coming to this, when I pray for you to get healed, don't believe that you will be healed. Believe that you are healed, then you will see the healing. Believe that you receive them, then you shall have them. It is not have them, then believe. Because in the kingdom, seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. I follow you, church. People say seeing is believing. No, seeing is not believing. Why we look not at the things which are seen? For the things which we see are temporary. The things that are not seen are eternal. We don't look at what is not seen. What is seen? So how do you know that you're a prosperous person? You say, look at my accounts now. They're not there high down. That's not how you know. If that is how you know, I tell you, you're not yet prosperous. There is a knowing in your heart that God has prospered you. It is when you know that you have it, that you will now have it. I know I am healed. Not because I don't feel any pain in my body, but because God's word said I am healed. He sent his word and his word healed me. I believe I have received it. So when I declare I'm healed in Jesus' name, I believe I've received it even before I see any manifestation. I follow me, church. So you totally believe God's word. What he has said about you. If he said you are blessed, you believe you are blessed. Train your heart to believe God's word.
I've taught from this a couple of times, train her to believe. You see what God did with Mary. The angel met Mary and told Mary, oh, well, you're going to have a child. Mary said, how can it happen? I've never been with a man. The angel took time to convince her, because that was a very powerful divine assignment. If Mary did not believe that it would happen, she wouldn't carry a baby. So Mary had to believe. She had to accept. Oh, well, be it unto me according to your word. That was it. The baby entered. You need to know how these things work. You need to know how these things work. You have to totally believe God's word. That is what faith is. Faith is that whatever you see in the Bible, you take it like it is true. Because it is true. Hallelujah. Such that even though you're struggling with one or two mistakes in your life, but you've read the Bible and the Bible said you're righteous, you take it like it's true. I'm righteous. You take it like that. Such that though you have a pain somewhere in your body right now, but the Bible has told you, you will serve the Lord your God and he shall take away sickness from the midst of thee. I believe God's word. He has removed sickness from me. You believe it? That's what faith is. There are no seven steps to faith. Faith is to simply see God's word and treat it like it's true. Simple. Treat it like it's true. So first, you know God's word. You believe God's word. And if I'm going to, you know, and I tell you, in believing God's word, I'm going to tell you, don't give in. One of the things that stops people from walking in faith when it has to do with healing is guilt. You know, sometimes they feel, oh, God is not going to heal you because you didn't do this, you didn't pray enough, you didn't fast enough, you are not righteous enough. That is when once Satan can fill your heart with guilt, he's already short, as in cutting short your healing. You won't have it. Because something makes you believe that you're not qualified to have it. You see that woman that came to Jesus and told Jesus, have mercy on my daughter. Jesus said, well, it is not good for me to take what is the children's bread and give it to dogs. That statement alone was enough to disqualify that woman. But she told Jesus, well, even the dogs have access to the crumbs. In other words, there is no way I can disqualify from this thing. If you say I'm a dog, fine. Give me the crumbs. Guess what Jesus gave us the crumbs? Healing. It's not today. Do you think what I said? What Jesus gave her as the crumbs that fell under the table was healing. So the bread was not even healing. As well. She had access to the crumbs. Jesus said, it's not good for me to take the children's bread and give to dogs. So referring to that woman as a dog, that statement simply meant you are not part of the commonwealth of Israel. You don't have access to this healing. And she said, well, even the dogs, yes, even though I'm part of the commonwealth, I should have access to the crumbs that fell under the table. Jesus said, well, that one is correct. You have it. What she received as the crumbs was healing. Are you following me? Somebody now says, so what is now the bread? We're talking about eternal life. We're talking about the life of God. So that's why healing, anybody has access to healing. Hallelujah. Point is, nothing is enough to disqualify you from it. So once Satan can fill your heart with guilt and make you feel like, oh, well, you're not qualified for this, you will remain sick. You will remain sick. People are sick because they feel they have not fasted enough. People are sick because they feel they have not given enough. And that's why you go to many churches today that are praying for the sick. People don't get it. And that is the reason. Because when they come to pray for the sick person, they first of all make the person feel like, oh, well, you're a sinner. How many sins have you confessed? And that thing alone keeps the person sick. Because you are weaponizing the devil. You are giving the devil a weapon. Are you getting the point? You are empowering the devil. You are empowering him with a powerful weapon. That weapon is guilt. And the guy says, you know, when you are praying for him, he is thinking about all he has done and all he has not done. I know how life is. Every time you examine yourself, you will find something wrong with you. Do we try? If you are sincere to yourself, look within, there is something. So for every time you think, oh, do I qualify for God's blessing? Have I done everything right? There is one more thing you've not done right. And someone is going to use that to hold you down. That's why I tell people, guilt is anti-faith. Guilt is anti-faith. Another example of an anti-faith, whatever, is worry. When I'm talking about faith, you need to believe. If you are going to believe, then you must deal with worry. Worry will not allow you to walk in the faith of God. Worry when it has to be sickness, I'm praying for you to get healed. You are checking, hey, it is spreading. Oh, they said if it gets to this point, it's not cancerous. You see the point? Worry. Once your heart is filled with that worry, worry fights faith. Worry is an enemy of faith. The interesting thing is, open us in Luke 12, verse 22. Luke 12, verse 22. Jesus spoke concerning worry. Hallelujah. Luke 12, 22. He said, to his disciples, therefore I say to you, take no thoughts for your life. What shall ye eat? Or what you shall eat? Neither for the body, what you shall put on. Verse 23. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Hallelujah. Don't take any thoughts. And what I want to, where I'm actually looking for is verse 25. Which of you, with taking thoughts, can add to his stature one cubit? In other words, you're worrying yourself will not heal you. Let me say, if you are sick and you stay up all night thinking of, is this how I'm going to die? Is this how? You will not be healed still. So what's the point? If you are thinking, oh, the growth is, maybe it is increasing. Jesus. Hey. You see, it's now here. Keep worrying. The more you keep worrying, the more you keep yourself down with the sickness, it will not add anything. If anything, it will remove from you. It will stop from getting healed. Have you noticed that most times when you are filled with worry, anything you worry yourself so much about, that thing is on the rise. It keeps happening. Worry yourself about how broke you are. Two people are broke. The other person is on the bed thinking of how broke she is. She's not talking to anybody. Now the point is, the more she keeps worrying, the more the broker she becomes. Write it in your whatever exam you want to write next. Do you know why? As she's lying on that bed worrying herself, she's even losing energy to go and hustle. Who has expressed what I'm talking about here? It steals from you. It weakens you. You just lie down. Have you ever gotten to the point? It happens to the point you wake up. You don't even have energy to wake up. Just wake up and close your eyes again. It's robbing you of strength. That's what worry does. So you are sick. Instead of you to get up and begin to think of what to do, begin to declare God's word, and just worry yourself. Hi. This is how I'm going to die. This is how my father died. This is how my grandfather died. This is how my grandfather died. And that is how you will die. Because once worry conquers your heart like that, Satan has gotten the permission he needs. Hallelujah. I think it was Bishop T.D. Jakes that was sharing this story. Yeah. Of how he watched his bloodline. That's the message he titled it. Was it bloodline or so? He watched his bloodline and found out that his great-grandfather died at, was it 50-something or so? He died of obesity. His grandfather, 50-something, obesity. His father, 50-something, obesity. That's a pattern. He was dead, he was 50-something, he was already very obese. Now, that's time to some people can start worrying. Hi. So he means I'm going to die. He knew he had to break that pattern. So he got up. First began to confess God and speak God's word. Then he hit the gym. Hit the gym, controlled his diet. I didn't get the point. Put something, and I was talking to you last week about being on a lifestyle of health. The will, change his diet, change a lot of things, hit the gym, take two God's word seriously, and he lived. Other person would have been bothered, so it means I'm going to die. Try, Jesus. My father died, my grandmother. Let me write my will. You must learn to say no to worry. Worry is an enemy of faith. It's an enemy of faith. Always remember what I'm sharing with you today. The fact that if you worry, it will not make you healed. So worry does not add anything. So why are you worrying? Think of all the times you've not slept throughout the night. What did they amount to? You are bothered that you might have failed your exam. You didn't write well. Then you stay up all night crying and worrying. You know what you are doing? The time you would have used to read for the next exam, you are burning it worrying. You are losing. I didn't get the point. So instead of having one carryover, you are going to have like two or three. Because one, you didn't write well on Thursday. You refuse to sleep on Thursday night because you are bothering yourself, crying, rolling on your bed. So you stay up till around 5 in the morning. Then you have your bath. I got to write Friday exam without reading with those heavy eyes. You now come back. That another one on Saturday. But you don't have strength because you didn't sleep on Thursday night. You will now sleep throughout Friday night. You now wake up on Saturday morning. I got to fail again. And you return. And you see, what it doesn't add anything. I'm saying it jokingly now, but what I'm telling you is true. It adds nothing to you. You know, sometimes, ask yourself, hey, what I'm doing now, what am I gaining from it? Something has gone wrong. You are crying in your room. What are you gaining from the tears? Huh? Let me ask your neighbor. When you are crying in your room, what are you gaining? What are you gaining? Therapy. I don't want to argue whether it is therapeutic or not, but at least your therapy should not, at least 30 minutes is enough therapy. All night is no more therapy. All night you are now sick. You now need healing. Hallelujah. Take no thought for your life. Worry will not add anything. So believe God's word totally. God is able, God is willing to heal me. Believe God's word. Don't give in to guilt. Don't give in to worry. Just believe God's word. What did God's word say? He said, I'm healed. So I'm going to hold on to his word. And somebody told me, well, this holding on to God's word does not work. Well, why do you think it doesn't work? The thing is, you don't have an option. If you don't hold on to it, you will still die of the sickness. If you hold on to it, it will work. Even if you say it does not work, what do you stand to lose? I didn't get the point. Deal with worry. Live your life. You know, worry kills faster. You've heard that popular story, and people have acted in the movies, but actually had it happened. How someone went to the hospital to do a test. Two people went to do a test separately. And the careless doctor gave someone, the person that was healthy, one was healthy, one had about 3 months or so to live. And he mistakenly switched or swapped their medical reports. The one that was meant to live long got a medical report of you have 3 months to die. The other one that had 3 months to die got a medical report of you are fully well. Guess what happened? Exactly what happened. The one that got a medical report that was supposed to die in 3 months died in 3 months. Went down and machetted and died. Why? He basically believed it in worry. The other person that told the medical report that she's fine was excited and living her life. So even when she feels a pain, she's no longer scared of, it's like I will die. They say I'm not going to die. Doctors, I'm fine. Are you following me? The other person that was actually healthy, if she wakes up from the bed and her back is pain and says, child, it's like we are close. Worry will take you farther than you want to go. And I'm telling you, I've seen this happen a lot of places. If you have a bad medical report, of all the things you should do, don't live your life in worry. Don't live your life in worry. Believe God's word. Hallelujah. Believe it totally. God is a healer. He wants to heal you. And then what else do you do with the word of God? You begin to speak God's word. Begin to speak God's word. I said you know it, you believe it. Then you begin to speak it. I've taught you a lot on speaking. Get my teaching on homology. That teaching will bless your life. It will change your thought pattern. Amen. Believe God's word totally. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 2. Solomon, the wisest man, he said, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. You are snared with the words of your mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that is the simple truth about God's word. So what you say will put you in bondage or will set you free. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 20. That very powerful scripture. You must have heard me quote a lot and a lot. Proverbs 18 verse 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life, the power of the tongue. And as he said, the tongue can bring death or life. So in other words, this is, if you keep saying, oh, I'm going to die, oh, my back is breaking, that's what's going to happen to you. I told you guys of the day I had an accident. Had an accident, you know, it was supposed to be a minor accident. But then I hit my bone. And I couldn't move it again. And thank God I know God's word. The only thing that came to my heart immediately that thing happened was, none of his bones shall be broken. I just blotted it out like that. And I kept saying it. My bones cannot be broken. My bones cannot be broken. Because, you know, that the devil is a wicked devil. I tell you, in 5 seconds, I had imagined myself using wheelchair clutch to preach. And the next time saying, well, they just wheeled me in. And I sat down. I said, praise the Lord. I wanted to know that. I said, no, my bones cannot be broken. No, you need to come to a point where you put God's word in your lips. And in fact, there's a scripture that directly connects God's speaking God's word to healing. And that's Proverbs 4 verse 20. Direct connection. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He said, my child. Put up like King James from eternal to surely. Glory to God. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Hallelujah. Verse 21, quickly. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So God's word is medicine. So keep it in your heart. How do you keep God's word in your heart? Keep it in your tongue. We're saying it. All the time, life is working in me. I have divine health. Whether you're sick or not sick, there are some of you that you know what I'm saying, some of you that have been sick for a very long time. You know, there are some of you that have been sick for long, 5 years, 10 years, or some of you have been sick all your life, a particular sickness. Some of you are the toughest to receive your healing. The reason is because you've gotten used to that sickness. I didn't get the point. Now, what you have to do is to deliberately school your heart. Both by learning and putting God's word on your lips, be saying it all the time, until it masters you. Especially some of you that have been sick, and many men of God have tried to lay hands on you to pray for you, and it didn't work. Take up God's word and be saying it every day. Because your heart needs to learn that God is your healer. Hallelujah. That God is your healer. Verse 20 of Proverbs 4 with NLT said, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. For they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Hallelujah. Now, see what happens. Verse 23. It now says, guard your heart above all else. For it determines the course of your life. Verse 24. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. And so if you don't give your tongue to nonsense, you're not going to give the devil inroad into your life. Your tongue is a major gate to your body. Your tongue, a major gate to your body. So, by what you say, you are opening or shutting the door to Satan. Opening and shutting the door to spirits. Opening and shutting the door to the Holy Ghost. It's the truth. You know, some of you don't understand the power of words. I teach all the time. You know, sometimes I meditate on the power of words, and words are one of the most underrated things in the world. Words. For instance, I've explained this here before. How do people... you may not agree to this. I'll just ask, because I know you will not agree. How many of you are in a relationship? Is everybody raising their hand? They are not in anything. Now, watch. When people get into relationships, how do they... Apart from situationships, I mean real relationship. How does it start? A man says, I love you. Will you be my girlfriend? Or my anything? And the lady says, yes. What? The day they are going to propose, a man is going to say, please be my wife. The lady is going to say, yes. Now, what is marriage? The same principle. Do you take as your lovely wedded wife? Yes. You see, it's just words. And you see, I used to jokingly tell my friends, 3 days ago, if these two people have sex, it is sin. Amen? By the power of coming together and talking, after talking, talk that will not pass 5 minutes. If they not have sex after,
is no mercy. The power of words. If they want to break up that marriage, they will go to the court. They will, the judge will say, you don't want to do it again? Yes. You don't want to do it again? Say, okay, put it in writing. You're right. And that is off. We underrate our words very well. I don't get a point. I told you guys that the first use of words in the Bible was not for communication. It was for creation. It was for creation. The first thing that words was used for, and God said, the first God said, let there be light. Amen. Now we're coming to that in the way. Amen. Let there be light. That's the first thing he said. Let there be light. So the first thing God used words to do was not even to speak to man. It was to call things forth. So we can use our words to call forth health, to call forth wealth, to call forth admission, to call forth the job we want, to call forth the peace we need. We can use our words very well. Don't play with that. It has become so powerful that even people who are not Christians are practicing what I say. Listen to motivational speakers today. Listen to every other religion. They will tell you, speak positive. They are learning from the Bible, speak positive. But you know the power of our own words is that we are not speaking positive. We are speaking God's word. No, that's what I touched on, homologio. It's not speaking, oh, everything's going to be fine. I'm going to make it. No, you're just talking empty words. It's good. You're just entertaining yourself. What I'm talking about is, when God has said something, maybe in the Bible or he said it to you, and you take it from God's mouth and put it on your own lips, and begin to agree with what God has said, it cannot fail. It cannot fail. So you read the Bible. The Bible said he sent his word and he heals your disease. Put it in your mouth. I'm healed. I'm healed. He blessed my. The Bible said he will bless your bread and your water. He said my food is blessed. Everything I take it, even the air I breathe in, is blessed. So they say it's communicable disease. I will breathe in the air. Nothing will happen to me. You need to know it. So you begin to speak God's word. I teach you this all the time. Speak ahead. Speak consistently. Speak ahead of time. Speak consistently. I like teaching you on the woman with the issue of blood. I've taught that a lot from in this series. Before she came and touched Jesus, it was her words that went ahead of her. She said to herself, if I touch. Put up that Mark 5:27-28 with Amplified Classic. Mark 5:27. She said to herself, if I touch, ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at the screen. Are you looking at the Bible? Go back to verse 27, come on. She heard the reports concerning Jesus. She had heard the reports concerning Jesus. And she came up behind him in the throng and touched his garments. What happened in verse 28? Why? I like how unfocused it is. She kept saying. So she didn't just say it once. If I touch, I'll be healed. Mm-mm. She kept saying. So it wasn't even the day she heard Jesus was passing that she started talking that thing. For a long time, she has been hearing about Jesus. She said, oh, if I just touch that man's garment, I'll be healed. She kept saying. So the way it's called me, I trust God for healing. What are you saying? What are you saying? You have to keep saying it all the time. She kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. Now you see why I taught you about faith. That faith is by hearing. See verse 27. She had heard the reports concerning Jesus. So you see, faith is by hearing. It's knowledge. So she got some information. That's why I said you must know what God said. She had some information. She heard of blind Bartimaeus. She heard of different people. She heard of dead. They said, wow. As she was hearing, she said, wow. By hearing, she was really believing. She now started saying, Jesus, if I can only touch this man. She kept saying it. So because she had been saying it, the day she finally touched, she didn't touch him and start saying, in Jesus' name, this is my healing. Amen. Mm-mm. She's been talking. So she just touched and left, and that was it. What has gone forth? And I shared with you guys that story of that Kenneth Hagin story, remember? How he was called to pray for someone. That's why sometimes some of you that go to pray for the sick,
When you pray for the sick and you don't see results as you expected, it's okay to investigate why you do not see results. But it's wrong to think that the power of God is not real or is not working in you because you didn't see results. But there are many things you don't know. So Brother Ege said they went to pray for the man. See, he was going to pray every day. You know, if you follow Brother Ege's ministry and some of these men, it's not about just go pray once. Some of them can be on a sick person's case for 6 months while the person gets healed. Teaching, praying, teaching, praying, teaching, praying. Since that is not even ready yet. I thought about giving and receiving. So he went, he said he kept going and praying, going to pray. He said every time he goes to pray, he hears God say to him, words have gone forth. No, spiritual laws have gone into motion. There is nothing you can do to change it. He didn't understand that, but he just kept going to pray. And finally the person died. So when he died, the brothers were, the family was like, well, maybe you could just help us come officiate his burial and all that. He said, oh, it's fine. So on that day, they went for the burial, he buried the man and all that. Amen. So he said, as I was coming back, the brother of the guys said, you know, there is something about this death that struck me. He said, what? He said, because my brother has been saying that before his 40th birthday, that he will not live to see his 40th birthday. He said, something has been saying all his life. He said that he'll be 40 in a couple of months. And he died. He said that was when he remembered that thing that God told him. Words have gone forth. Spiritual laws have gone into motion. There is nothing you can do to change it at this time. Are you following me, church? In other words, you can choose your... That's what I told you. You can be very healthy, but you're on the pathway of death. I get the point. It's about your lifestyle. You can even be very sick, but you are running to health. I can be very healthy, and you are running to die. Praise God. I gave an example in the natural. Because when we teach about divine healing, you need to know that when you are trusting God for divine healing and working in divine health, you should also pay attention. You can't be speaking the right words. I don't know why I'm talking about this. The right words with your mouth and doing the wrong things in your own action. For instance, if you're trusting God for healing, you know, or to be in divine health, you know, there are things that you should begin, some of you are young, but as you begin to grow, begin to take extra care of your body. I thought about obesity already. If you notice you're getting obese, please work on it. Control your diet. Hallelujah. Control your diet. You can't be on the, you can be healthy, but by your lifestyle, by your feeding habits, you already run into death. Everybody saying that you are healthy. But a good doctor, a good dietitian that knows, will just look at your feeding habits and predict that in the next 5 years you'll be sick. It's very possible. Not spiritually. I didn't get a point. You can also look at your life and say, well, watch this because the way it's looking in the next 5-10 years. So in the physical, everybody's seeing that you are healthy. But the way you've patterned your life, you want the pathway of death. It's also like that spiritually. You can be very healthy today, but I can look at your routines and I can predict that in the next couple of years, something may hit you and not be able to survive. So what are you saying today? I get the point. Life is working in me. Don't say it in your heart. Put it in your tongue. Don't think things. Say them. And words are so powerful that even the things that you have to think about, how you feed your heart is still your mouth. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. So where does meditation take place? Your heart. Where should the book of the law not depart from? Your mouth. Because it is when it is in your mouth that it can go into your heart. So you cannot meditate on it. Are you following me? So you keep speaking God's word. You speak ahead. You speak consistently. Don't keep short. For all you care, passivity is unbelief. Christ can never forget it. You see, when you are not talking at, because people don't talk at all. So I don't believe all the talking thing. The point, when you're not talking, is fine. When you're not talking, you are actually agree with everything the devil is doing. I say it all the time so that you know it. Satan is not a gentleman. You think if you don't bother him, he won't bother you. No, he's going to bother you. Keep speaking life. Keep speaking life. Don't be passive. Wake up every day. Take every opportunity to talk. Even if you are, even the times you're sick and you're feeling the symptoms. And someone says, oh, well, what's wrong with you? I'm not expecting you to lie, to say things like, oh, I'm fine. What is wrong with me? Well, but I tell you, even when you admit, some of you, you know, you want to walk in faith, and your doctor says, what's wrong? There's a pain in your back. Or you say, there is no pain in my back. He will go home. He will treat you. So there's something about, oh, well, yes, how do you feel? I still feel a pain in my back, but I know I'm going to be fine. Never let the confession you made about your sickness be the last of it. Make sure you talk about healing. I was going to tell you, well, I'm feeling a pain in my leg, but I know that God is working in me and I'm going to be fine. I say it all the time. This is me. I say, if anything bad has ever happened to me, if you ask me about it, I will tell you what happened to me, but I must say the other one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So how is your finance doing now? Well, I'm out of cash now, actually. But I know that very soon, I'll have more than enough. Because what is not enough today will be more than enough tomorrow. I believe it with all my heart. I believe it with all my heart. And I've proven this, and I'm telling you, in many ways, even in church today, some of that have been with us in church for a long time, there was a time we didn't have everything we have now. I get to the point. There was a time. Glory to God. Now we have problems, bigger problems. Our problems are in millions now. There was a time our problems was in thousands and tens of thousands. It was not enough. It is more than enough today. And I tell you, the part that is not even enough today will be more than enough tomorrow. Glory to God. That's the time all our faith was released to buy one speaker and one box amp. But I tell you now, if we want that speaker and that box amp times 10 today, we will get it in one day times 10. Because what was not enough today, yesterday, will be more than enough tomorrow. And I believe what I'm saying. So I can't, my last say will not be I'm broke. How much do you have now? I say, well, I really don't have anything. But I know that very soon I will have more than enough. I say, I don't say this. I say, even in my passing statement, maybe I want to pay for a house or something. And you tell me, you go to the house rent, you go. Not yet, but I know very soon it will be enough. So that I don't have any plan. But I'm telling you, it's going to be enough very soon. I say this, it has to become part of a vocabulary. So how do you feel in your body? Well, I still feel a little pain, but I know that very soon it's going to be gone. Because God is working. So, say something. Never speak negativity. Never. Don't say the wrong things about your health. Don't say you are dying, because you're not going to die. Don't personalize the sickness. This is my sickness. This is my headache. This is my asthma. This is my stomach ache. It always comes. Don't do that. So keep talking God's word. Keep speaking God's word. Amen. So that's the first thing. The first way you receive a healing is by God's word. The second one, I will say a little about that, and I will continue with it on Sunday. I will touch it again on Sunday. The second one is related to the first, is now by the ministration of men. So, when it comes to God's word, know it, believe it, confess it, speak it, and all that. Now, then there are times also where men minister to you and you get healed by what we call the laying on of hands. The laying on of hands. You know, in Mark 7 verse 32, we read about the laying on of hands. Jesus practiced this. Mark 7 and verse 32. Are you getting blessed? And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears and his feet and touched his tongue. Glory to God. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. Hallelujah. I love Jesus. And straightway his ears were opened. And the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plainly. So by the laying of hands, Jesus laid hands, spoke words, the guy got well. I was explaining it for on Sunday. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 5. Just the previous verse. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 5. Hallelujah. And he could do there,
he could dare do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. So that was where they didn't believe his ministry and all that. But then, of course, we see he laid his hands on a few sick folk and he healed them. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 13, we see the mission of laying on of hands to heal the sick. He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Hallelujah. She laid the hands on, who is this woman? The woman that was bent over for 18 years. Jesus laid hands on her, and she was straightened. And when Jesus was going, he instructed us to lay hands too. In Mark 16 verse 18, one of the instructions he gave us as he was leaving planet Earth was that we should lay hands. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink in the thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So that is healing by the laying on of hands. But watch, even when hands are laid and when words are spoken, and when it's still words that are spoken, it's still God's word. That's why you must keep speaking God's word. You must keep believing God's word. When we lay hands on you, what you are going to do, you are still going to speak God's word, and it's going to work. Amen. And I want to say this to you. One of the ways to receive healing by the laying on of hands, that's when it involves a man of God. I said this on Sunday, I'll say it on Sunday again, is that you must believe. Believe not just in God, but believe in that minister's calling. Believe that the hand of God is upon him. A minister you despise or you look down on cannot heal you. He cannot heal you. Need to realize that when it comes to healing, I'll say this on Sunday, when it comes to healing, God did not put healing in his own hands. He put it in the hands of the minister. That's why he told them, when he was sending them forth in Matthew 10 and in Luke 10, he told them, when you go there, heal the sick, cure the lepers. Why? He didn't say, when you get there, call God to come and do it. He put it in the hands of the minister. Are you following me, church? And so when you do not believe that God has called that person, or that God is working in that person and through that person, you are not going to get your healing. You know, in Acts 28, we read the story of how Paul came to a certain island. You know, of course, you know the story. He came to that island, and, you know, while he was trying to gather, they didn't know him. They didn't know him as a man of God. They didn't know him as Paul. He was just a normal guy, Acts 28. I just came to that island. And he was trying to gather stick, you know, to make fire. You ever cooked with firewood? He was trying to gather stick to make fire. And then a snake came out from the stick he was gathering and bit him. They don't just bite him, beat him and fastened itself on his hand. Amen. I follow him. And then Paul shook it off and he fell inside the fire. Now, that is a man that understands divine health. That's why I said you must know God's word. Because at different times your health will be attacked. This was an attack on his health. I hope you know. He just shook it off. Now watch what follows. He fell into the fire when he shook it off. And the people in that island, I'm talking to you about faith in the minister. The people in that island said, well, no doubt this man is a murderer. He has escaped the sea because they had a lot of stuff that the boat almost capsized. Said he has escaped the sea. And now, vengeance does not want him to leave. In other words, they were expecting Paul to die. So notice what they knew about Paul. What specifically they knew about him? A murderer. Are you following me? Verse 5. But then, he did not die. In verse 6, he did not die because they waited for him in verse 6 to see when his stomach would swell up and when he would die. How be they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Now, this is progress in perception of a minister. First, this nonsense minister, this fake man of God. Some of you, before you met me, that's how I was to you. Amen? Then progressively, you now see one or two things. You say, something is changing. So then I said, this one is not a human being, no, this one is a god. Now, immediately there was that change in perception. Look at verse 7. In the same quarters, we are possessed of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously.
verse 8. Now, notice, go to that verse 7. When I began to perceive him as a God, then I began to treat him well. This public self took them in and gave them accommodation. Verse 8. We now had a miracle. It came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. Healing could break out because they changed their mind about him. Now see verse 9. By the time this happened, so when this was done, others also which had diseases in Ireland came and were healed. Glory to God. They changed their mind about the man. They changed how they saw him. If they had kept saying, this one is a murderer, nobody will be healed. And so, if you're going to receive healing from a man of God, from your pastor, you must know that he's called of God and believe totally in the ministry that God has given him. So you put your faith and then hands are laid. I want to say this to you, friend. When you speak God's word and when hands has been laid on you, I'll say this finally, I'll start closing from here. When you speak God's word and hands have been laid on you, I tell you how to receive the healing practically. Respond to the word immediately. This is the part where people remain sick. Respond to the word immediately. Either the word you are saying or the words I'm saying, just respond. If I walk up to you and you are crippled, and I put my hands on you and I pray for you, you have to respond immediately to the word. That your response is a proof that you believe that you are healed. If you are broke, you don't have one naira, and I walk up to you and say, you know what this is today? You say, yes. He said, well, I paid in while I was coming. I stopped over at your bank. Share his assets bank. He said, yes. I paid in 100 million naira there. Now, how you believe it? How do you show that you believe it? No, you won't just rejoice. You will rejoice. But you will stand up and start going to the bank immediately. You're going to respond to that word immediately. If not, it is this morning. I didn't get the point. Now, if you say, okay, thank you, amen, no, and you sit down there, the chances are you do not believe that I put that money there. If you really believe that I put the money there, you're not going to sit down there. Amen. You first of all can withdraw like 10,000 and go to Mando's restaurant or borrow achicha, anything you eat first, beans first, beans, plantain first. Before you even think of your commitment in church, you have to eat the beans first, then you now come back and start smiling and start doing agalio. You must respond to the word. When Peter and John met that crippled man in Acts of the First chapter 3, verse 6, Peter told him, silver or gold I do not have. Well, this verse explains everything I've been trying to teach you. Go to verse 5. Go to verse 5, because this will bless you. He gave it unto them, because in verse 4, Peter told him, look on us. You know, that's why I'm talking about faith. Look on us. Don't look up to heaven. We are here now. Look at us. The Bible said, the man fastened his eyes on them. He gave it unto them, expecting to receive something. And Peter now told them, silver or gold I do not have. He said, such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, at this point, the healing has been delivered. But the man was still sitting down there. Now, what did Peter do next? Peter had to teach him how to respond to the word. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle. So when did his feet and ankle bones receive strength? When Peter lifted him. If the man had kept sitting down there, he will not be healed. He has been healed, he will not receive it. So the feet and ankle bones were not made strong until he stood. So that's why sometimes we will pray for you. We will say, do what you're going for. Now, even whether we say that or not, once we lay hands on you, you had an eye situation, and we pray, the next thing you should do, as you are thanking God, you are rejoicing, you are doing what you couldn't do before. Now, stop looking for the sickness. Start looking for the healing. Start doing what you couldn't do before. You must respond to the word. There's always an action in response to prayer. That's always an action. In Acts 14 verse 8, Paul was preaching in Lystra and a man was crippled from his waist down. And Paul prayed for him. Paul looked at him and perceived that he had faith to be healed. Hallelujah. Perceived that he had faith to be healed and then prayed for him so he can receive his healing. Now, come on. Verse 9. Verse 10 now. He said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." What happened? He leaped and walked. Now, what some of you think is that when we pray for a cripple, that the power of God will check him and he will say, "No, you stand." I was sharing with you guys at that time. I was in a Red Monkeys meeting. I was an usher. And they prayed for this young man. He had prayed, you know, mass distribution of healing. People are getting healed. This other man was just sitting down. And I went to him. I said, no, it was a woman. I said, "Mommy," I said, "stand up." He said, "Oh, Quero." I said, "No, don't talk like that. Get up." Was speaking to us, helping her. And suddenly, by the prayer of the man of God, and we trying to help her faith, she stood. I get the point. And because if you just relax there, nothing is happening. Oh, my leg is still paining. No. When I give you money, when I tell you there's money in your account, you will start going to the bank. When I say you are healed now, you will stand up. When I say your eyes are now good, you will read with it. So that is the action. You take action. He leaped. He acted on the word immediately. Stand upright on your feet. And he leaped. Now that man is full of faith. You notice in verse 8, verse 9, Bible said, Paul looked at him and perceived that this man had faith to be healed. And Paul's perception was right. Because immediately he prayed for the man leaped. He didn't wait. You know, that's why you see the power of God's word. In Acts chapter 3, please pay attention to this. When Peter prayed for that man at the beautiful gate, Peter had to give him his hand and help him up. He didn't know God's word. I don't get the point. He didn't know God's word. So Peter had to help him. And then he acted on the word. In Acts 14, before Paul prayed, Paul had been preaching the gospel in verse 7. So the man has been listening to Paul. And faith has been injected into him. So when Paul prayed for him, nobody taught him what to do. He just knew it's time to stand up. It's time to stand up. And I tell you, when I pray and there is a pain at your back you couldn't bend before, immediately after the prayer, bend immediately. You don't say, "Oh, well, amen, ukumo." You act on the word. You know, Miss Angel said when they send you the money, the first thing you do is that you rejoice. That's also very correct. When we tell you, you are now healed. That's why I see here, when it has to do with healing, when we lay hands on you for healing, your first response, all of them should go hand in hand. As you are laughing, you are praising God, you are acting it. Say, "Put hands on me, be healed. Woo, glory!" Why are you shouting? Has it manifested? I have it already. Jesus said, if you believe that you receive it, you will have it. So we say, "Oh, come to me, what's wrong with you?" He say, "I've been having this pain in my tummy." We hit it. Be gone in Jesus' name. Start shouting immediately. Glory, glory to God. We begin to check it immediately. What are you doing? You are acting. You are receiving it. That's why the word in the Greek is lambano. That's what it means to receive. It means to actively take what has been given. And lambano is an active word. It's not "I receive." Mm-mm. You show it. "I receive. I receive the healing." So when we speak over your eye, once we lay hands on you, start laughing already. Start thanking God. "Thank you, Father." The Bible said, "Let all things be." He said, "With prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving." With prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Oh, glory to God. You know, I love what the psalmist said, and that's why the choir did that song last week. Psalm 103, verse 1. He said, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless the Lord." Verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Verse 3, "Who forgives all your iniquities and healeth all diseases." That's what you do. If you know that God is the one that heals all diseases, once we lay hands on you, start blessing the Lord already. Start blessing him already. That's why you notice when people, you see people that are not to receive their healing, once the man of God is putting their hands on them, they're raising it up and they're thanking God already. Why are they thanking God? It's as good as stone. If you trust, let me tell you, when I'm laying hands on you, it's as practical as I am handing over something to you. Let's assume healing was something physical. And I bring it and I give it to you. What do you do? Stretch your hand and you take it. That's the same thing. How to take is to give God praise. I begin to act on the word immediately. Peter prayed for the man and put his head. If you remain here, you're not going to be healed. So I'm going to help you stand. I'm going to help you stand. I'm going to help you stand. You know, the lady that mentored me when I was growing up as a believer shared a story with me the first day she experienced healing from ulcer. She said the ulcer was so bad she couldn't eat. Very dramatic lady. She couldn't eat anything that had pepper and all that. She said they had a vigil that day and she went under the power of God strongly. And then she got it. It was around 4 or 5 in the morning. She said she got up. She knew she had been healed. And she took off from there. She was running. Guess what she was running to? To the woman selling Okpa. You know Okpa? Not this Okpa, the cookie. What about eating the soko Okpa? There's all this in the cookie. I have nothing against Okpa sellers here. But I've tasted something better. So it's fine. So she took off and went there. I told the woman, give me two immediately. And she began to eat it. She has not taken up in a very long time. You say, What if not? Hallelujah. And when she was telling me this story, it was more than 5 years ago. She's still perfectly well. Amen. When we come to you by healing, where you know you have it, it's time to dance. It's time to run. You go and pray. You know, I used to remember some healing videos I used to watch those days. You know, a robot will just pray for you and say, go praising God. Go praising God. And that's what they do. Well, put this on you. Go praising God. Hallelujah. So I pray for you. It's not time to say, amen. And you turn and start going back to your seat. Some of you, you really don't come to receive your healing, you are coming to receive prayer. So we'll just come to you and pray for you. In Jesus' name, be healed. He say, amen. No. Start going back to your seat. What did you come out for in the first place? You came for prayer. You received the prayer. That's why you're going back to your seat. Another person, you put us on him immediately. He's leaping for joy. He's shaking his hand. He's twisting his body. He's shaking because, you know, something has happened to me. You need to know. You move on praising God. Hallelujah. You know, when the Ethiopian eunuch met Philip on the way, the Bible said, after he was baptized in the water, and then the Spirit took Philip from him, he went praising God. This is from my mother this afternoon. He left that place. Now, Philip had gone. Somehow the man knew he had received something. Hallelujah. That's why, you know, the songwriter said, something happened. And now, I know. He touched me
and made me whole.
When he touches you, you will know. When he touches you, you will know. Sometimes when the touch comes, there's a laying on of hands. Sometimes you just feel this cold sensation go through your body. You just know. Sometimes it's like, have you felt an electric shock go through your body? Sometimes it's like heat. Sometimes there is no physical feeling. But just in your heart, you just know that something has happened to you. Sometimes you feel it in your body. Sometimes in your flesh. Sometimes you don't even feel it at all. At all, you just know. You just know. You just know. When he touches you, you will know. And you act on it immediately. You dance for joy.
You moved out your body. You moved out your body. You moved out your leg. You check it. You read with those eyes. You breathe like you're not breathing, breathing before and all that. You do something. You do something. You're not looking for the sickness. You're exercising your healing. Hallelujah. We're going to do something in the next 5 minutes. We're going to take that song the choir did on Sunday. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all my iniquities and makes me whole. I tell you, if you're coming to Zoe, or if you're in this service trusting the Lord for healing, there is healing in this room and is available for all. There is healing in this room and is available for all. Glory to God.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, who forgives all my iniquities and makes me whole. Bless the Lord.
Come on.
Oh my soul.
Yes.
Who forgives all my iniquities and makes me whole. Bless the Lord, church.
Bless the Lord.
Oh my soul.
Oh my soul.
Who
forgives all my iniquities and makes me whole.
Bless the Lord, church.
Bless the
Jesus, there is healing in the name of Jesus, is available for all. There is healing in the name of Jesus.
Yes, yes, yes.
Healing in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus, is available for all.
There is healing
in the name of Jesus. Healing in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus. Is available for all. There is healing in the name of Jesus. Healing in the name of Jesus. There is healing in the name of Jesus. Is available for all. Bless the Lord. Oh my soul. Who forgives all my iniquities and makes me whole. Bless the Lord. Oh my soul. Who forgives all my iniquities and makes me whole. Bless the Lord. Oh my soul. Who forgives all my iniquities and
Father, thank you. Lift your hands and begin to bless God, your healer. Call him your healer. Rapha is our healer. Oh, thank him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You know, if you're here, you're following from anywhere, and there is a situation in your body that was caused by an accident, you had an accident and it has not totally healed. Right now, the power of God is locating you wherever you're standing. As your hands are lifted to heaven, that sickness, that dislocation, whatever pain caused by whatever accident, is leaving your body now. What needs to be repaired is repaired now. I'm hearing it in the Holy Ghost again. What must be repaired is repaired now. And God is fixing your body. He's fixing your body. He's fixing your body. And there is restoration now. In the name of Jesus. I'll reserve the rest here. We'll meet in your way. Hallelujah. But I tell you, no sickness will escape the power of God. And some of you that are going to be, you know, some of you are looking forward to healing life. Some of you that are sick. I want you to know that you shouldn't even wait for that night. Sometimes from the first night, God is healing you already. Different points in the meeting, there will be eruptions. Supernatural eruptions. The power of God breaking forth. Settling issues. Fixing situations. Hallelujah. Aligning things for you. I tell you what. Increase your expectation because they will be exceeded. And I already see that there will be a lot of miracles, not just of healing, but jobs, contracts. There have been miracles of finances, and a lot of dead accounts will resurrect. And some of you, properties you planned to purchase this year that you're already giving up on because the year is coming to an end, in some way to come alive again. And you see, the way will be made, the way will appear. Look forward to our Thanksgiving here and 31st night. There will be so much. But I tell you, God is here for us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And it's one major way we're going to end this year. Because from December, we'll start praying for next year. This year, we are ending it stronger. And 2023 will be better. Let me not tell you yet what the Lord is saying for 2023. But I tell you, it's so much. Don't tempt me. I'm not going to say it. But I tell you, it's so much for that year.
Hallelujah. God does not fail. God, let me tell you, apart from that, He gave us Jesus and all that. I look at you people here, and a couple of you here have been here for some. See, okay, look at your life. Look at January. Look at last year. Look at last 2 years. Look at now. You know that God used to answer prayer. I'm serious. I told you last week, some of the things that you have now, we are prayer points 2 years ago. But you have them now. Sometimes you can't even remember when you prayed the prayer. But at the time that you are having sleepless nights because of the things that you have now. And they are now very common. Very common. And I tell you, so we will launch many of you into your firsts. That's what I heard. Yeah. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Your firsts. Some of you, it will be to launch into your first house, your first car, your first job, your first. You know there is this joy that comes with first. Hallelujah. When you move into your first house, you always feel like you have arrived. Your many firsts will come from this away. And many of you, the things you already have, God will begin to improve on them. He will improve, He will make them better. It is a way of better things. It's a way of better things. Hallelujah. And students, take note of this and don't forget it. You see, I don't know how your results have been before now. But see, the exams you write in this period will be your best you've ever written. Now, listen. Listen, I know I have many hardworking people here. I know you are reading. I shall know you are reading. I don't need to ask whether you are reading. But God will just help you. He will help your effort. And I tell you, every student stand needs the help of God. You know, as it may be now. Try this strike. We both know you did not read anything. Confide in me. Did you read? But God is going to help you, Sha. God is going to help you.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.